Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the head of the Southern Nevada Water Authority, Pat Mulroy, will be here. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Chuck Muth and David DeMore. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Look who benefits from Nevada mining, because mining creates more than 50,000 jobs. Mining contributes more than $300 million in annual tax revenue, with more than 61% going to the state to fund our schools and senior programs. And mining invests right here, where you live, work, and go to school, paying more taxes per employee than any other industry in the state. In good times and hard times, mining is working for Nevada families, working for you. Visit our website and learn more.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome to the program Pat Mulroy. She's the head of the Southern Nevada Water Authority, and they are one of our proud sponsors. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
It's great to be back, Sam.
So, as everybody who's watching this program knows, Michael Robeson and the legislature attempted to take over the Southern Nevada Water Authority in terms of its governance. Did you see that coming?
I knew that. He had been in conversation with the Las Vegas Chamber, and I knew that there were discussions about the last rate increase, so I expected something. I'm not surprised the bill came out. There was a lot of consternation among certain parts of the business community about the way the water rate increase was implemented. And they were very vocal about their concerns. I think this is more medicine than the cure needs. And let's put this in perspective. The Public Utility Commission was created when power companies began to emerge, and you had to create monopoly utilities. Since that competitive factor was out of the economic equation, and they didn't want to give a monopoly the ability to rape and pillage the residents and raise rates any way they want, they put in this regulatory structure. And the reason they did it is because all the financial information of an investor-owned utility is proprietary. It's never open to the public. It's never open to anybody's scrutiny. The government utilities, they're the people's utilities. They're the only stockholders we have are our customers. They own the system. They've bought it. They've paid for it. They own it. There's no other financial investment other than our bondholders. So when you say you're going to put the water authority under the PUC, it's a square peg in a round hole. It makes no sense because no one argued with the magnitude of the increase. No one argued with how much money had to be raised for us to pay our debt service, or as I've come to call it, our mortgage payment. What we were arguing about was which methodology were we going to use. And the board made the conscious decision that given the fact that Southern Nevada had the highest rate of unemployment, the highest foreclosure rate in the country, that they were going to temporarily protect the residential customer, and they were going to step them in. So rather than hit them with a $10 charge for our smallest residential customers, because I own a one-inch meter, I wasn't protected. But for the smallest residential customer, they got protected at the $5 rate. That's what everyone's upset about, who ended up having to make up the difference. That was a decision by the elected representatives of the people who own the utility that was going to charge them. And there's a real philosophical discussion in here.
And for those that might not know it, explain who the members of your board are.
The Southern Nevada Water Authority Board, the whole transparency argument rings shallow to me. I mean, the board of the Southern Nevada Water Authority is made up of county commissioners and city officials. They're all elected by the people. Whatever rate that Water Authority Board then adopts has to be ratified or sent back to develop a new rate structure by all the water member agencies. So the city of Henderson, the city of North Las Vegas, and the Clark County Commission sitting as the Las Vegas Valley Water District. So at a minimum, there were four public hearings. We also sent out a business impact statement. We sent in our newsletter to every single customer. We sent them a notice in that newsletter that we send out quarterly, which is our WaterWise newsletter. So every single customer got this, telling them what the rate increase entailed and what the options were. We had a rate calculator on the internet. We had a rate. We would do it over the phone for our customers. We would tell them what it impacts them. Anyone who wanted any financial information about the reason for this was obviously, under the Nevada public records law, was clearly able to get any and all information that they needed. It came down to how do you do it.
And if the legislature were to take over the regulation of the Southern Nevada Water Authority, that could have incredible negative ramifications for future water supply for Southern Nevada.
Well, it's going to have ramifications across the state. And I'm going to get a little wonky on you here for a second. But we bought our bonds through the state bond bank and the county bond bank. So when the state of Nevada says to its bondholders, there's a contract between us and our bondholders. When we say to our bondholders, we're going to change the rules in the middle of the game. We're not going to allow 29 elected officials to vote on water rates and charges. Those are the ones who made the commitment that they would raise rates and charges to whatever the level they had to in order to make their bond payments. No, we're going to put another body that we never anticipated having to have a say in the water rates. We're going to interject them on top. It's going to affect the state's credit rating. It's going to affect the county's credit rating. It's going to cast a pall across all financial government transactions for the state of Nevada.
And would you end up being liable to be sued by the bondholders for doing something like this?
Yes. We've gotten a lengthy legal opinion from our bond counsel, and quite frankly, Sam, it's unconstitutional. There's a provision in both the federal constitution and the state constitution that's called an impairment clause, which says that the legislature cannot enact a piece of legislation that impairs the relationship between contracting parties in the midst of that contract. That would throw us wide open to a lawsuit. Because look what NV Energy does. They go to the financial markets too. But before they go, they take that next power plant or that next transmission line that they have to finance and get it embedded in their resource plan that's approved by the PUC. Then they have the freedom to say to the bond buyer or to whatever financial vehicle, whoever, you know, gives them the financing, we've already have regulatory approval. That wouldn't be the case in this instant.
Okay, that's really quite stunning. Let's take a break. We'll be Pat Mulroy when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal, and technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Pat Mulroy. She's the general manager of the Southern Nevada Water Authority. Let's talk about what happened in winter and what can we expect with flows from the Colorado.
Well, that's not good news, Sam. Unless we have a miracle in April, we've got the two worst years back-to-back ever in the Colorado River Basin. My friend up in Denver, who runs Denver Water, is already looking at draconian drought measures for the summer. He's already getting his utility ready to brown out lawns and go back into some temporary measures to get through it. I hope that the snow that we just had last week on the eastern side of the Rockies, not much on the west, but on the eastern side of the Rockies, helps him a little bit. But we're going to see Lake Mead go down 13 feet. So the efforts that we and the Metropolitan Water District and the Central Arizona Project and the Mexicans are doing right now to leave water in Lake Mead, to, you know, we're spending an enormous amount of money buying and leasing agricultural rights, and the water that we got in Coyote Springs that we've been pump testing and putting in Lake Mead, we're leaving it there to bring that lake back up. We're right now, Lake Mead sits around 1120. That's 10 feet higher than it would be if we hadn't done the banking. So right now we've banked 10 feet worth. So if we end up really hitting 1075, which is our first shortage trigger, that will be after every possible extraordinary effort will have been taken to bolster the elevation of that lake. That makes it even more frightening to me.
And are you going to be asking the public to respond?
We've already got our conservation measures in place. We're not backing off. Listen, right. The people in Southern Nevada are in better shape than many communities on the Colorado. When we hit 1075, 1050, 1025, they won't feel it one bit. We've already conserved it. That's what the secret to managing waters in this chaotic climatic change environment is about. You've got to anticipate the worst and get your community ready so that you don't have these upheavals all the time and have to come down with draconian measures.
Let's change to potentially some good news here, which is water hookups. With the increased activity in housing now the onset of the Genting project on the Echelon site, what are you looking as far as hookups? Because you lost so much money when you had to pay back that money when all these builders and contractors went out of business.
We're recovering a little bit. We had hoped to recover a little bit more, but here's the issue. A lot of our customers or the builders had already prepaid those connections. And so until that inventory of land that's already had their connections paid gets absorbed and new land is opened up for development, the connection charges aren't necessarily going to track the growth. But what it does do is it brings additional customers to the table and helps mute the burden that's been sitting on the existing customers to pay for that third intake.
Are you seeing a larger in-migration at this point in time than out-migration?
I think it balances itself out, but I think we're seeing an uptick. I know that homes are selling very well in Southern Nevada. Part of it is because of the pent-up foreclosure market. But new homes are thriving right now.
And isn't that somewhat surprising?
No, I'm grateful.
Well, no, we're all grateful. But, I mean, you know, if you'd gone back 2 years and said that this was going to happen, that people would actually be building new properties now and new housing units, you would have been stunned.
Maybe, but, you know, I'm the eternal optimist, and we've been suffering through this since 2008. So we're in year five. I think by year five, you've got young people starting to come up who are ready to buy their first home, and that market was going to build. So I'm grateful we didn't have as big an out-migration as, you know, some had feared, and that things are beginning to stabilize. I think there's a whole new economic reality being forged, not just in Southern Nevada, but across the country, one that really has more stability than the old market that we came out of. And we're all getting used to this new market. I mean, as the water agency, we're grateful we're not seeing those huge increases in customer numbers, because that just adds pressure to us. But the ever-steady, gradual increase is something that's very easy to manage.
Okay, so do you have concerns then with the number of new projects that are on the board that are going to create thousands of jobs, both in construction and then in permanent jobs? Does that concern you that might be happening too quickly?
No, not at all.
Good. Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because the new construction is so different from old construction. I mean, builders are very, very conscious of the water supply. They are building very water smart developments. They're building energy smart developments. They're building a community that is designed to live in the desert. And that makes all the difference in a natural resource setting.
Are you coming to Carson City?
Oh, I'll be back on Monday.
Okay, well, we will be down in Carson starting the second week in April. Look forward to seeing you there.
Take care, Sam. I look forward to seeing you.
All right, we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we know you need health insurance that covers your family as they grow.
Sorry, Dad.
No, I'm good.
And if you don't get health insurance through work...
Are you okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers coverage your family can count on.
Whoa, slow down, Chief.
Especially parents. Whether you need basic coverage for yourself or more protection for your family, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a variety of coverage options for different needs and budgets. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or can't get health coverage at work, call Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield today for a free quote. Call 1-800-868-0714 or visit anthemforhealth.com to compare plans and apply.
Get that number?
I wrote it down.
Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
We don't just practice law here in Reno.
This is our home.
Careless conduct is a danger to everyone.
When we help people recover from their accidents and injuries,
it sends a message. Slow down around schools. Don't tailgate. Don't text and drive. And don't drink and drive.
This helps to make our community safer.
If you've been injured, give us a call. I'm Bob Jensen.
And I'm Graham Galloway.
For your free consultation, call Galloway and Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should too.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, our pundits were so good we held them over for another show. Dave DeMoris here, he's a political science professor at UNLV. And Chuck Muth is the head of citizen outreach. Pleasure to have you guys back on the program. What did you think about Mayor Bloomberg making this substantial buy, $300,000 just in Southern Nevada alone, to get his anti-gun message and pointing it directly at Senator Heller?
I guess this is what you get to do when you're a billionaire. I don't think it's going to move the needle one bit on the issue there. I think, you know, the Republicans have given the ground that they're going to do background checks, mental health, those kinds of things there. But pushing farther than that, it's not going to go. I don't think it's going to do much.
have to agree. I mean, the guy's got too much money. He's an idiot. I mean, yeah, I wish I had $300,000 that I could just dump like that. Dean Heller's not up for another, what, 5 3/4 of a year for election, and he's going to run ads now over this issue? I mean, that's what happens when you have too much money, more money than you have brains.
Is Dean Heller doing the right things to connect with Southern Nevada, you know, as he lays the groundwork? Because, as we all know, every election is connected to the next election.
You know, obviously I think he's moderated quite a bit on immigration. I think that's been the major one. We'll see this in the later in the spring and the summer as the immigration legislation might actually get written, what role he takes in that there. That's obviously, I think, in Southern Nevada what a lot of people were concerned with given some of his prior statements earlier, and I think he's certainly moderated in that manner.
Do you think he's just growing? Or is he returning to his roots?
Well, I mean, if you look at Heller's whole history, right, it sort of moved back and forth, right? When he was Secretary of State, he was sort of this moderate.
And he was a nonpartisan when
exactly.
He was Secretary of State.
And then after he got that scare from Sharon Engel, and when he was running in the House there, he moved, you know, to the right and sort of then embraced the Tea Party. And then, you know, as he was gearing up for his Senate election, seemed to move a little bit more to the middle. And if you think about the election with Berkeley, he was all about, I'm just about Mr. Pragmatism and solutions there. So I think he sort of sees the direction the state's going and wants to be at least consistent with that. You know, you figure in Nevada, and when he's up in, what, 2018, it's going to be, you know, the trajectory of the demographics continue. It's going to be a more Democratic state, so it's going to be tougher for candidates
like him.
Would it
be a more Democratic state or a more independent state?
He has always been a populist at heart, and I think he's always leaned conservative, but the reality of his office when he was Secretary of State didn't lend to red meat conservatism. There just wasn't anything, you know, in that office to justify that. When you're running in the most Republican congressional district in a House of Representatives run by Republican Tea Party activists, sure, then you're able to go ahead and flex your conservative bona fides a little bit more in public. And then he ran statewide in a state that is, you know, has a Democrat majority with a strong independent streak to it. So I don't know that Dean has changed, although the political reality has changed based on the offices he sought and the district, from a Republican district to a Democrat district. I don't like the no-labels stuff. I never like that no-labels crap. I figure if a politician wants to run with that no-labels gang, then run as an independent. Don't run as a Democrat or Republican. Run without a label. That being said, he was only one of, I think, Sam, 9 or 10 Republicans in the Senate last week who got it exactly right in voting against taxing the internet. And I don't know what the rest of these Republicans were thinking, or, well, I know what they were thinking. They're seeing tax dollars floating around in their eyes. But Dean got it right. And so I think, you know, his rhetoric with the no-label stuff, that concerns me, but his votes have been pretty solid on the fiscal issue, so I've got no complaint at this point.
You agree?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there. And I think, you know, I'd like to see him get a little more substantive, you know, this sort of what the no budget, no pay, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, get you headlines there, but I think, you know, there's a lot of issues in that Nevada needs addressing. I'd like to see him get a little more into the meat of it and away from some of the sort of symbolic politics.
Okay.
He could just co-sponsor every bill that Rand Paul sponsors.
There you go.
Fine.
Well, we'll get to Rand Paul in a minute if we have time. I want to talk to you about marijuana and our senators that went over to Arizona to take a look at this. And the thing that surprised me the most was the number of them that really knew absolutely nothing about marijuana.
Or so they said.
Yeah, I heard Tech brought some free samples back with him, but I'm...
Yeah, I mean, you know, look at that group that went there. You know, you have Michelle Fiore, I think Scott Hammond was there. You have
Mark Hutchinson.
Exactly, so you have some LDS folks there. You know, that doesn't surprise me all that much. I mean, you know, potheads aren't known for their political activism or running for office. What I thought was interesting was
Bill Maher certainly is the most.
But he's not running for office.
No, but he's certainly a political figure.
But you know, I think it's just goes to some of the dysfunction in Nevada politics of what this law was passed a decade ago. You know, we're just trying to figure out what the actual infrastructure we should put in place to sort of actually do what the people want when they put this on the ballot and passed it. So I think that's just sort of is a very, very telling fact in itself here. That's another issue where you've seen a big shift in public opinion, much more accepting of that.
Well, also in the makeup of the legislature, which is infinitely younger.
Mm-hmm. It's younger and less, I think that's a big part of it as well.
Your thoughts?
Well, the two things about this whole issue, it's not about potheads smoking pot. Here's the two things that we really should be looking at. One is this unconscionable war on drugs that's costing our nation a fortune in money not to mention loss of civil liberties and rights. That's a huge issue that we should be taking a look at. And the second issue, frankly, is this whole issue of states versus the federal government. Can a state like Colorado or Nevada pass a law and say, hey, we think that we don't want to buy into this war on drugs. Marijuana's okay. We're going to let our people go ahead and smoke it if they want. And then have the federal government come in and say, oh, no. Mommy knows better than you states. We're going to come in and we're going to stop you from doing it. That's the battle that I really think we need to have and frankly want to have, because the federal government has been doing this to the states, not just on this drug issue, but on a host of other issues. This is the issue that can finally...
Do you actually want to see a war between the federal government and a state over this?
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's long overdue. The states need to reclaim the power and rights that they've had taken away from them.
Okay, about 30 seconds. I'll steal some extra time here. Your thoughts on that?
Chuck makes a good point here, that this is an issue that can go across cleavage, or across the coalitions, right? You have conservatives who are concerned about government, you have liberals who say, we want to do what we want to do, right? And you have the government that is still outside of public opinion, right? You saw what Washington State, Colorado State passed this here in direct opposition to the federal government here. If Nevada moves in this direction too, you might say, well, all of a sudden, what's the federal government spending their time doing this? They got deficits, they got to deal with these other problems here. Why are they spending their time prosecuting and going after states who want to just simply create their own policies?
And that's where we got to leave it. Food for thought there, gentlemen. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Every day I help people hurt in accidents. Do you know the compensation you're entitled to right now and in the future? Do you need my help?
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
Now during the Lazy Boy Ultimate Leather Sale. Save on sumptuous leather furniture store-wide, including recliners, sofas, and more. Long-lasting leather, unbeatable prices. Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Live life comfortably.
Hi, I'm Matthew Hole, and I'd like to invite you to the Subaru Love Spring event going on now at Michael Hole Subaru in Carson City. We're excited to feature the newly redesigned 2014 Subaru Forester, and right now we have a variety of styles and colors to choose from. And we have a complete lineup of 2013 Subarus, including Legacies, Outbacks, BRZs, and more. We're a Nevada company run by Nevadans, and with the new freeway, we're just 18 minutes from Reno. So come in today for the Subaru Love Spring event and become part of the Michael Hole family. And remember, if you don't shop Michael Hole, you'll pay too much.
Could you use up to $2,500 in minutes? We've got you covered. We are Dollar Loan Center, your community short-term lender. No checking account required, no application fees, and no prepayment penalties. From Sioux Falls, South Dakota to Los Angeles, California, apply at one of our 80 locations or complete your entire loan online at don'tbebroke.com.
Get our best offer ever. Beat the clock and take 25% off your entire furniture purchase this Friday and Saturday only. Plus, get 6 months interest-free financing. Beat the clock, only at your Ashley Furniture Home Store.
Car accidents, motorcycle accidents, injured in an accident.
Do insurance companies stack the deck against you with high-powered attorneys and expert witnesses? Yes, they do.
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Coming up on our broadcast next week, we'll have a couple of shows with Billy Vassiliadis, and we'll also talk to Anthony Marnell III. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.